After a 5-minute climb up a trail on his property, we finally reach our destination.
This is my spot. This is the center of the universe. It's where I hang out with Buddha and Krishna and, you know, all those guys.
Are you a Buddhist? Jesus.
I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, I'm whatever you want me to be. You know, it all comes down to the same thing. You're in a loving place or you're in an unloving place. If you're with me right now, you cannot be unhappy. It's not possible.
Jim Carrey, comedian, movie star, with Steve Croft on 60 Minutes recently. Now, the interview really was about his life and his career and about his upcoming movie, A Series of Unfortunate Events. It turned toward his spiritual center there under his cabana on his property. He's describing what he is, and it appears that he's everything, or as he puts it, anything you want me to be, because it all boils down to the same thing. So Jim Carrey is not only a very accomplished movie star and very funny comedian, he is also typical of American pop spirituality. We're going to hear a little bit more of what is typical of American pop spirituality a little bit later in this last hour of Issues, Etc. Welcome back. The final 45 minutes, we're going to be hearing a new ad. It's just the first of a series of ads from the United Church of Christ. They are rolling out a huge ad campaign, television, print, and everything else. But the television campaign, we'll be hearing that, and I'll be describing what we can't actually see because it's radio. We'll be hearing that ad from the UCC in just a few minutes. Our call-in numbers are 505-750-1800-730-2727. Then a little bit later, as time permits, we'll hear from, what was this, This Week with George Stephanopoulos, another news program on Sunday. We'll hear from Gary Bauer and from Tony Campolo. They were going to be talking about religion, in particular, the Christian faith and politics. Our guest in the last hour, Steve Mueller, is author of a book called No Tame God. It's about Christ in the writings of C.S. Lewis. This book is published by Concordia Publishing House, and you can find out more about the book by going to their website, cph.org, cph.org. You can also call them and ask for this book. And while you're asking for the book, No Tame God, ask for our Issues, Etc. Books of the Month for November, Faithfully Parenting Teens and Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers. Now, remember all those books. The books, our Issues, Etc. Books of the Month for November are only $9.99 plus shipping and handling a piece. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or if you'd like to go in and pick up Not a Tame God by Steve Mueller or our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, CPH is happy to welcome you to one of the two locations here in St. Louis where they operate bookstores. One is here on the campus of Concordia Seminary, 801 DeMunn in Clayton. The other at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Their number again, 1-800-325-3040. Or find out more about all those books, Not a Tame God, or our Issues, Etc. Books of the Month for November, Faithfully Parenting Teens and Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers, at their website, www.cph.org. All right, Jim Carrey is a funny guy. I've found his movies, most of them, to be entertaining. I have not seen A Series of Unfortunate Events. I don't think it's out yet. The last one I saw was The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. He's turned into quite a good actor, and people are recognizing it. He makes money. He's one of those guys that you put him in a movie, it makes money. It may make a little a lot of money, or make a lot of money. But either way, it makes a lot of money. So 60 Minutes decides to talk to Jim Carrey. It seems as though all of the Hollywood celebrities, after they have become really successful, after they no longer need to work, they no longer need to make movies, their success, they could stop now because they have reached the pinnacle of their careers, or at least in terms of what they're being paid and their recognition. It seems that almost to a person, Hollywood celebrities, when they reach this point, nowadays, not in the old days, but nowadays, all kind of get Oprah-fied. Oprah was kind of the first to do this. She is a fabulously successful media mogul. At least one day out of the 5 days she broadcasts her program, she'll deal with some matter pertaining to spirituality. And I've noticed it all ends up sounding the same. Who was it right after September 11th when all of the religions of the world gathered together in Yankee Stadium in New York City? Who was the presiding priestess? I think it's safe to say Oprah Winfrey. Well, she embodies the American dream. So does Jim Carrey. Now, don't get me wrong. Hollywood celebrities are as entitled as anyone else to hold their own opinions in matters of religion. Sometimes one wishes they would keep it to themselves, but I think it's better when they tell us. If Madonna really thinks that Kabbalah is the cat's meow, I want to hear her talk about it. I do. Because, well, to tell you the truth, I think it really highlights the nonsense that is Kabbalah. When Oprah Winfrey wants to talk about New Age spirituality and the latest thing she's learned from yoga or from Eastern mysticism, one of the 5 days of the week on her program, I think it's a good thing. Now, the fact that people follow them or take them seriously is a whole other matter. Jim Carrey's not pushing anything on anybody. He has the quintessential American pop spirituality. Let's hear it again. It begins with Steve Croft and his narration, and we'll listen again. Jim Carrey comes in there very shortly.
After a 5-minute climb up a trail on his property, we finally reach our destination.
This is my spot. This is the center of the universe. It's where I hang out with Buddha and Krishna and, you know, all those guys.
Are you a Buddhist?
I'm a Buddhist. I'm a Muslim. I'm a Christian. I'm whatever you want me to be. You know, it all comes down to the same thing. You're in a loving place or you're in an unloving place. If you're with me right now, we cannot be unhappy. It's not possible.
Two things. I want your reaction to what Jim Carrey had to say there. Did it sound familiar to you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you're like me, when Jim Carrey's being interviewed on one of these programs, I don't usually watch 60 Minutes. But I'll tune in and watch. Because I'm fascinated by the guy. He's talented. And I'm fascinated. What makes this guy tick? And then all of a sudden they're up in the cabana and they're talking about Buddha and Krishna and Jesus. And I'm a Muslim. I'm a Buddhist. I'm a Christian. I'm whatever you want me to be. What was your reaction? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. But I said before we heard that again, that he is really quintessentially an American pop spiritualist. Because unlike the proselytizing that we often get from our celebrated people on their own personal brands of spirituality, and make no bones about it, when Oprah Winfrey features her spiritual instruction on her website or in her publication or on her television program, there is proselytizing going on. There are women, these soccer moms, who, with panting reverence as her audience, with the kind of religious fervor you only see at spiritual revivals, clapping, screaming, she showers them with gifts. And I think if Oprah Winfrey said, "I am God," I think half of her audience would say, "Okay, I'll give it some consideration." Now, Jim Carrey is a little different. He's not proselytizing anybody. This is purely personal. I'm whatever you want me to be. It's really the ultimate in the unoffensive spiritual position. It is the ultimate in spiritual moderation. Everything in moderation. It's the ultimate in moderation. You know what a moderate is. This is my definition. I made it up. I have it copyrighted. It's a person who claims moral superiority by refusing to take a position. A person who claims the moral high ground by refusing to decide is a moderate. And this is kind of the ultimate in religious moderation. I'm a little bit of everything, and a lot of everything, and anything you want me to be, because, and his rationale was quintessentially that of American pop spirituality, his rationale, it all boils down to the same thing. What did he say that same thing was? You're either in a loving place or you're in an unloving place. And when you're in a loving place, it's impossible to be unhappy. If I'm in a loving place and you're in a loving place, regardless of what we believe, it's impossible to be unhappy. And since happiness is the goal of everything, since happiness is the end of the road in American pop spirituality, then it must be good. And it must be true in the sense that only things in American spirituality can be true, which is not true. Let me explain that. In American spirituality, when we say something is true, what we mean is it's about as true as it can be while still not being true. It's as true as it can be as long as I can still disagree with you and claim that my truth is truer than your truth. And go ahead, you go ahead and claim that your truth is truer than mine, fine, and we'll both agree that in some sense we both have the truth. Well, is it true that all these things boil down to the same thing? Let's just take the things that were mentioned by Jim Carrey. Buddhism. He mentioned Krishna. So I guess you can kind of toss Hinduism in there too. Christianity. Islam. He says, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, I'm whatever you want me to be. And I found it interesting for him to say, I'm whatever you want me to be. I kind of go with the wind here. What kind of pizza do you like? My response to my wife is, you know what I like. I'll eat anything. Whatever you want. That's Jim Carrey's approach to his faith. What kind of spirituality do you like? I don't care. What do you like? I'll eat whatever you're eating. If it's Buddhism, fine. It all boils down. See, that's my opinion about pizza. It all boils down to the same thing. It's dough, it's sauce, it's cheese, and it's something else. And that something else doesn't really matter to me. And it doesn't make a big difference to me, and I eat it so fast that I hardly even taste it. And this is the creed of American pop spirituality. What's religion? What's Christianity? What's Buddhism? What's Hinduism? What's Islam? It's God. It's man. It's prayer. It's good works. And then some other stuff on top that it doesn't really make any difference. All that stuff on top, just a matter of preference. The essentials, the crust, the sauce, the cheese, they're all the same. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, I will grant Jim Carrey this, and then we're going to go on to talk about the UCC's ad campaign. I'll grant him this. If he would have left Christianity out of the list and simply said, Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, all those religions, they all boil down to basically be the same thing, excluding Christianity, I agree. They are. Buddhism, Islam, whatever other religions there are apart from Christianity, do all boil down to be the same thing. Now, they are distinctive from one another in their particular ways of working out your salvation through your own deeds, but all of them are salvation by works. Every single last one of them. Even if you make up your own religion right there on the spot. Everything apart from Christianity is man's futile attempt to please God, a God who may be unhappy with you or pleased with you, depending on your particular perspective, but to please God through your works. They all boil down to the same thing, except Christianity. Christianity is the odd man out of all religions. Now, this is the big lie being perpetrated from Oprah Winfrey at Yankee Stadium to Oprah Winfrey on her daily program to Jim Carrey up in his cabana with Steve Croft on 60 Minutes. The big lie being perpetrated in pop American spirituality is that we ought to include Christianity in the list of all these religions that all boil down to the same thing. What makes Christianity unique? It's not our morality. Our morality in many ways is indistinguishable from, say, Judaism or, in some cases, if you got a pretty moderate Muslim on your hands, pretty indistinguishable from that, from Mormonism, even from Buddhism and Hinduism and the other biggies, in many ways, in terms of our morality, it's basic philosophy, indistinguishable. It is not Christian morality that makes something Christian. That is not what is different about Christianity. And I guess if you were just looking at Christianity as a moral system, as Jim Carrey apparently does, and so many Christians sadly do too, then you could say they all boil down to the same thing. But what makes Christianity unique is Christ, is the Savior it proclaims. God, not up in heaven, happy with you or unhappy with you, but down here on earth in human flesh, bearing your sins, real sins, not just shortcomings, not just a failure to reach your potential, but real sins against a real God, bearing your sins in his body all the way to the cross. It is Jesus dead on a cross that makes Christianity different. It is Jesus dead in the grave that makes Christianity different. It is Jesus alive again after 3 days that makes Christianity different from all of them. That is a distinction, sadly, that is lost on Pop American spirituality. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. It's Tuesday, November the 30th. Our call-in numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Car phone callers, first-time callers, and internet callers get top priority, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's a little context for the United Churches of Christ, the United Church of Christ ad campaign. This is something big from the LA Times. Crossover style shows in Christian ads pitches have become provocative, hip, in a bid to draw newcomers and the disillusioned to the pews. You've seen these ads, haven't you? Maybe you've gotten a flyer on your doorstep when a new church moves into town. We're not like anyone else. We're different. They all claim to be different. You go on Sunday morning, they're all the same. I mean, as the same as they possibly, they're all playing the same canned music from the same 5 or 6 popular worship and praise song CDs. The pastor, they're all dressed the same. Old Navy, Gap, Abercrombie and Fitch, it just depends on how much money he's being paid, but they're all dressed the same. They all sound the same. They're all pushing the same books, Purpose Driven Life, Courageous Christian, whatever it is. They're all exactly the same while claiming to be different. What an irony there. Well, the UCC, the United Church of Christ, has been different in its own way for a long time now. It has been leading the way in the decline of mainline Protestant liberalism. In the United Church of Christ, you can go to church on Easter morning and you can hear the pastor or the pastorette preach about a butterfly coming out of the chrysalis or a flower opening to the morning sun, or a chick coming out of an egg, or for that matter, the Easter bunny. And all of those are described with equal historicity as Jesus coming out of the grave. They've been doing their own thing for quite some time. You can also go to a UCC church in a different town and actually hear the pastor preach about Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead on an Easter Sunday. And he actually believes it. Now, his people may not, but he actually believes it. It's a big tent, the UCC, a very big tent. Well, they've been in decline along with the other mainline denominations for quite some time. They're down to about 6,000 congregations and about 1.3 million people. They used to be the largest. They used to be the largest. Now, I'm going to leave the mic up here, Craig, because I got to describe a few things that are taking place in this ad. Here's their new TV ad set to air tomorrow.
No, let's go to the side, please.
Okay, there are bouncers here at the door of a church turning people away.
No way.
A little Hispanic boy.
I don't think so. No.
A guy who appears to be poor, and they're letting the rich people through. Then it says Jesus didn't turn people away.
Of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here.
Okay, that's the ad. Bouncers at the door of the church. They're turning people away. There's a guy who looks Hispanic. No. There's a family, a mom and a dad and a child dressed in suits and nice clothes. They get let through. There's actually even a velvet rope that the bouncers at the door of the church are letting people in. And some people they're turning away. Then there's the line that says, Jesus didn't turn people away. Neither do we. And then you heard the tagline, wherever you are on the journey of life, whoever you are, you're welcome here. And that's shown with the crowd of people standing on risers. They show, if I remember correctly here, they show a Hispanic boy. They show a black couple. They show an elderly couple. And then they show two young girls who, a little odd, have their arms around each other. I don't know. I didn't know what it means. Here's the ad again. Just listen.
Step aside, please. No way. Not you? I don't think so. No.
The United Church of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here.
Now, if this would have come from, say, the Mormon Church, I wouldn't think about this twice. In fact, this could be, it could be an ad for the Mormon Church. And if it came from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I'd think to myself, now, you know, they're trying to present themselves as maybe mainstream, but they're trying to present themselves as welcoming, and that's been their pitch for a long time. Family values, and everyone's welcome, and we'll let you in. But this came from the United Church of Christ, the same church that in its general convention, summer before last, had a choir of transgendered cross-dressing singers who, in the course of singing traditional hymns, traditional church hymns, at their general assembly, were slowly undressing to reveal their true genders. Men dressed as women, women dressed as men. Big high point of the UCC gathering. The same UCC whose logo is Gaia the Earth Mother embracing all the children of the world. It's their logo, Gaia the Earth Mother embracing all the children of the world. The goddess Earth. Now, when you see an ad coming out like this that says, look, whoever you are and wherever you are on the journey of life, you're welcome here. Jesus didn't turn people away, and neither do we. Okay, consider the source. Now, what are they trying to do? What they're trying to do is they're trying to turn around flagging attendance. I think they're also trying to do something very clever, very wicked, but very clever. I think they're trying to capitalize on the fact that the whole issue of gay marriage, the whole issue of homosexuality in the church, has been getting some very bad press. And they're saying, here's our niche. Our niche is, while other churches may tell you you can't get married here if you're gay, or you're not welcome here for other reasons, say you can't commune here because, say, you're pro-choice, we don't care what you believe. We welcome you here. Now, we'll find out whether that's actually true. We'll hear from two people who were both evaluating and in charge of these ads when we come back from this break. It's open lines, issues, etc. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll see whether it works. I mean, this is just the first, and they've got a long ways to go. They have been in decline for the last 30 years. They're hoping that this is going to find them their niche, establish their brand, people who have been disillusioned with the church. And when you start seeing these new ads, you'll see what I mean. What do you think about this new UCC ad? Give me a call during this break. It's a great time to call. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
There's nothing like a teenager. There's no challenge like a teenager. The teenage years are halfway between childhood and the adult world, with all the joys and the conflicts of both. How do we parent and guide our children in the Christian faith through this unique time of life? Faithfully Parenting Teens is the title of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. This book is $9.99 plus shipping and handling. Visit our website, issuesetc.org, to find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Faithfully Parenting Teens. issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. When you call or go online, ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Faithfully Parenting Teens.
Bird brain. It could be a compliment.
Answers with Ken Ham, who's written a powerful book on effective evangelism called Why Won't They Listen? Well, Ken, to say that someone was a bird brain is, of course, an insult, but now you're telling us it could also be a compliment.
Well, yes, in this case I am. Birds that collect seeds during times of plenty and then store them away for a hungry day in the winter have fascinated biologists. For example, a Clark's nutcracker can bury up to 33,000 seeds in up to 2,500 different locations in just 1 year. Now, scientists estimate that the bird recovers about two-thirds of the seeds up to 13 months later. Now, it was once thought that the birds didn't have the brain power to remember where they buried their seeds. Scientists believe that the birds must have just been poking around randomly until they happened to come across them. But research now shows that these seed-storing birds have astonishing brain power. They actually remember their burial sites with pinpoint accuracy, even in the absence of nearby landmarks. Sometimes I can't even remember where I placed my glasses, let alone find some 20,000 seeds in so many different locations. Isn't it sad that the majority of scientists observe this and praise the evolutionary mechanism of chance instead of praising the infinite Creator God?
Evolutionary scientists insist that the world is billions of years old. But what's the true story? Well, read our free booklet on the evidence for a young world when you log on to AnswersRadio.com.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. A recent survey by the Christian Film and Television Commission showed that in the past year, movies that had themes which stressed positive moral values earned three times more money than movies that focused on sex and violence. One Hollywood executive said, "I don't know what the lessons are here, except we're making a lot of movies that people don't want to see." Could the lesson be that Americans are fed up with the trash at the local movie theater? Could it be that Christian parents, motivated by the love of Jesus Christ, are forbidding their children to attend some movies? Could it be that through the power of the Holy Spirit, some children are developing a keener sense of Christian discernment? Whatever the reason, this is a good trend. We can help perpetuate it through prayer and family discussions. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at cmli.org.
AM 850 KFUO's Church of the Week is Peace Lutheran. This holy season, the members of Peace Lutheran invite you to Advent services Wednesday at 6 p.m. and before the services, supper will be served. Our Christmas Eve services include our 4 p.m. children's service, a candlelight communion service at 6 p.m. and a 10 p.m. candlelight choral service. We will also worship at 9:30 a.m. on Christmas Day. The Peace Men's Club invites you to browse our Christmas tree lot at the Telegraph Walmart. Peace Lutheran, located on Barracks View Road in South County.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. It's Open Lines. We've got about 15 minutes, no, just about 10 minutes left here in Open Lines today, talking about the new ad campaign. $30 million all said, but the initial outroll for this 30-second television ad that's going to air tomorrow nationwide is only about $1.7 million, but they do plan on spending all $30 million on their ad campaign. The greater part of the campaign is called God is Still Speaking. Its logo is a comma. You know, the little punctuation, a comma. And the unofficial little slogan there is a quote from Gracie Burns that says, "Don't put a period where God has put a comma. God is still speaking, comma." Now, I got no problem with God still speaking if he's still saying the same thing he's always said. Of course God is still speaking. Every Sunday, as often as his word is preached, God is still speaking. I don't think that's what the UCC means. I think they mean God is still speaking, and he's got more different things to say. And don't put a period there, because God, just because he said it in the Bible doesn't mean God's done. He might want to redact or leave it open to amendment in the future. So don't put a period there at the end of the Bible. Just leave a comma there and allow for the fact that God might still speak on issues like, say, homosexuality. Who knows? God's still speaking. Go to the phones. Bob is calling from his car. Bob, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Bob.
I just wanted to ask you, how do you make judgments about whether or not cross-dressing is wrong? You said it at the UCC convention, they were engaged in cross-dressing. What is wrong with that? Is there anything in the Bible that says anything about cross-dressing? And there's all sorts of things in the Bible about usury and all manner of things, not honoring the Sabbath, all sorts of things. you know, why emphasize something like cross-dressing?
Well, okay, first of all, let me just inquire, if you don't mind, mm-hmm. as to your thought on this. Do you have a problem with transvestitism, cross-dressing, transgenderism, these kinds of things?
No, I think it's a matter of personal choice. I don't do it myself, but I don't see anything wrong with anybody doing that. In other words, there's a lot of things that I don't do myself, but I don't smoke, for example. You know, if people choose to smoke, that's their choice.
Well, okay, let's just explore this a little bit more, Bob.
Is there anything in Scripture that says anything condemning cross-dressing?
Okay, before I let you go, what is wrong, Bob? I mean, what kind of things are wrong? Because you're asking for a clear scripture here.
I think Christ made it very clear. If you don't love your neighbor as yourself, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you, that's what's wrong.
All right. What about homosexuality?
Hmm?
What about homosexuality?
Well, Christ, to my knowledge, never said anything about homosexuality. Can you point to a passage where Christ talked about homosexuality?
No, I can't. I also can't point to a passage where he talks about, say, child abuse either.
Mm-hmm.
Is child abuse wrong, Bob?
Absolutely.
Jesus never said anything about it.
But he says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you were a child, you wouldn't want to be abused, right? So I think he does speak to the question of child abuse.
What about sexually molested? What about?
I don't see how that is doing anything to me that I find objectionable.
Bob,
thank
you.
That's the choice of somebody else. I don't understand why you're making an issue out of it.
All right, thank you, Bob. Actually, I'm not making an issue about the cross-dressing. It was an example of the new liturgical style in the Anything Goes United Church of Christ. These were not just people who are cross-dressed. These are transgendered people. These are people who are in the process of changing their genders. Now, I don't know. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned, but there is that passage near the beginning of the Bible that talks about God created them male and female. I don't know. Maybe God does permit people to change their gender or their sexuality at will. Now, here, what's the signal being sent? Is this just some innocuous signal? We have people who are in the process of changing their genders, dressing as the opposite sex, singing traditional hymns, and then in the course of singing these hymns, disrobing to reveal their real gender, their real chosen gender, I guess you could say. According to Bob, that's a morally neutral occurrence. Just people exercising their preferences. No, I can't find a passage that explicitly condemns cross-dressing. And in fact, there are instances in which I think that dressing up like a woman might not be wrong at all. Milton Berle made a career out of doing that on occasion for a laugh. Now, if one is doing it to thwart God's created purpose in your life, if God made you a man and you insist on dressing like a woman to spite God, or going farther than how you dress and choosing your sexual partners thereby, then it is wrong. Now, he says Jesus never mentioned homosexuality. No, he didn't. But he did talk about the right relationship between a man and a woman. In fact, he quotes that passage I quoted just a minute ago. From the beginning, God made them male and female. And if we're going to leave off the list of things that are wrong, those things that Jesus did not explicitly condemn, then rape is also not wrong. He didn't condemn it. Now, I know Bob's logic. Bob's logic is there are things that are wrong because they hurt someone else, and then there are things that are wrong that are not wrong because they don't hurt anybody else. That kind of ignores the fact that God holds people morally accountable not only for what they do to their neighbor, but what they do before Him. What about the 40-year-old man who finds a 12-year-old girl who wants to be his wife, or who wants to be his live-in lover, or who, God forbid, consents to the molestation? Jesus never condemned it. Must not be wrong. We can play games with Scripture all we want. And I imagine with people like Bob out there, the UCC ad campaign might find a welcome. You might want to check it out, Bob. You can find them all over the place. I mean, go check it out. Sounds like you'd be at home there. At least you'd be honest, if that's where you're going to church. At least it would be an honest choice of where you go to church. Okay. Let's hear that cut three there, Craig. This is a laywoman from inside the United Church of Christ who's commenting on the new ad campaign and what she thinks it's really all about.
People need to know that there is a church out there that believes that Jesus' message of love and inclusion is for all people, exactly as they were created and wherever they are on their journey. And they also need to know that we're a church with an identity and a calling that sees ourselves to be an open and affirming, multiracial, multicultural, accessible to all, just peace church. And that's a beautiful thing.
Multiracial, multicultural, accessible to all, just peace church. That's a mouthful. The last time I checked, the church has always been multi-ethnic, always been multiracial, always been accessible to all. I don't think that makes the UCC unique. But I found interesting, Jesus' message of love and inclusion. And a lot of people probably didn't even blink their eyes when they heard that. Jesus' message of love and inclusion. By the way, folks, Jesus' message was not of love and inclusion. Jesus' message was of sin and his death on the cross for sinners. That was Jesus' message. Now, that is a message of love and inclusion. But there is a huge difference between forgiveness of sin and affirmation of sin. Jesus did not come to affirm us. He came to save us. He did not come to affirm our sin or our chosen lifestyle, chosen gender, or whatever that may be. He came to pay the price for our sins. Well, we're going to have to talk about this more because there's going to be more in this ad series with the UCC. And we'll see if it can turn around their flagging attendance. We'll see if they've found their niche and are able to brand themselves properly in the marketplace of ideas as apparently the one church that really does actually accept all people. You know what? Jesus receives sinners, but he receives them as sinners. Not as people who come saying, I don't have any sin to be forgiven, or what I've done isn't wrong. Jesus receives sinners. He forgives them. He dies for them. That's what makes Christianity different. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.